And what do you think should happen next? Praise God. Suddenly, you know, actually, they didn't spend that long in trust. But when they started to pray, and suddenly, God gave them an answer. And a man in a vision, a man from Macedonia, suddenly appears to Paul. I think if I was Paul, man, I'd have probably jumped out of my skin. He turned around to look at Silas, you know, and he's like, whoa, what is this? Who are you? A man appears to Paul in a vision, and he's not just giving him a suggestion. Hey, you know, you guys, you know, why don't you think, you ever thought of Macedonia? It's nice. We got great orchards there. You know, you can get a great rate on a hotel. And besides, you know, if you get the hotel, it comes with a vacation package, and you know, you can have a good time. He has a vision of this man from Macedonia who is begging him. He is imploring and pleading for Paul. Paul, come over to Macedonia and help us. Wow. Paul said, okay, I guess we'll go. So they concluded, therefore, that God had called them to preach there. I guess so. If I was sitting in prayer and suddenly I had a vision and a man appeared to me in a vision and said, started pleading, John, come help us over in Greensboro. I guess I'd go to Greensboro, wouldn't you? So they did. Said immediately. They packed up their stuff. They set out from Macedonia, concluding that that was God's plan for them. Now, just want to show you on the map, Macedonia, right side, is up here. It's sort of a region, actually. And there's a lot of cities from the Bible that you might recognize up in there. Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. Anybody recognize those names? Okay, so a lot of ministry in store for them there. And so they conclude, well, that's where God wants us to go. And so they packed up and they got on a boat and they left. And that kind of makes a nice ending. Kind of wraps it up nice with the bow. And I could probably just stop here and say, okay, well, you know, let's close in prayer and go. Let's eat some food and hit the road. But, you know, it's kind of like the show 24. Just when you think the plot has ended. Yeah, there's a fan back there. Just when you think the plot has ended and Jack Bauer got the bad guy, man. He nailed that bad guy and that old flesh just trying to pop its head up. He nailed that guy. Hauls him into jail, and you know, but you know, the problem is it's only been 12 hours into the scenario, and you know, there's got to be 24 hours, so you know that even though it looks like it's all wrapped up nicely with the bow, Jack Bauer is still in trouble, man. There's somebody out there you haven't met yet that doing some kind of dastardly deed, some evil something or other, and you got to wait till the next episode to find out what it was. They give you just enough of a teaser. Well, that's kind of the situation here. It looks like, you know, Paul and Silas and Jack Bauer, you know, got their thing on and they got their groove going. They're ready to head out to Macedonia and everything is nice and everything is cool. But I would submit to you that there is more to this passage than meets the eye. There is much treasure in this passage, and it's not just a nice little ending. This is actually just the beginning. Couple of things that are lying just below the surface here. And we'll see how this plays out. Number one, first, you'll notice in verse 6, let's put that scripture back up there. You'll notice in verse 6 it says now, who is the author of the book of Acts? Luke, right. And Luke writes in verse 6, now when they, talking about Paul, Silas, and Timothy, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word of Asia. They came to Mysia. They did this. They did that. They did the other thing, right? Now look down in verse 10 after Paul has the vision. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately, what's that? We. You speaking French or something? Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. Who in the world is we? Luke and the other guys. Son of a gun. Very subtle, but this is where Luke joins the Apostle Paul and begins to travel with him. He actually travels with him to Philippi, stays there for a while when Paul goes on, but they come back and then he is like with Paul forever. Luke suddenly comes into the picture. Now, Luke became one of the greatest workers for the gospel in the history of the church. Luke was a giant for God. He wrote the gospel of Luke, okay? He wrote the book of Acts. That represents about a quarter of the New Testament. An entire 25% of the New Testament. This guy was a giant. He did exploits for God. He traveled with Paul incessantly. He was his closest companion. In one place in the Bible, Paul says that all have left me, only Luke is with me. Everyone else left, but Luke was faithful. Luke was a good man. Not only that, but Luke was also a physician. If you're familiar with Paul's travels, every time he went to some other town, they beat him up or hit him with rods or whipped him and left him for dead. The guy was imprisoned and stoned. I mean, the guy was a medical nightmare. If he didn't have this guy traveling with him, he may not have made it all the way to chapter 28 in the book of Acts. He'd have probably died a long time ago. He probably met Luke and said, "You're a doctor? Buddy, I got plans for you. I will keep you in business." Paul was always getting beat up. He always needed medical attention. Thank God for Luke. Praise God. Shipwrecked, thrown into prison, stranded on an island, bitten by a serpent. Man. Although God took care of the serpent. Anyway. Now, I don't know if this is true. And all the scholars and commentaries I've read, nobody has either affirmed this or denied it. But I don't see any reason. In fact, I think it's a strong possibility that maybe that Luke actually got saved right there in Troas. That when Paul and Silas and them were biding their time trying to figure out what to do, we know there eventually a church was set up there. They were probably sharing the gospel with folks, and maybe that's where Luke actually heard the gospel for the first time, because he was a Gentile. Maybe that's where Luke got saved. And we know that Luke didn't live at Troas. He actually lived, the scholars say, either at Philippi, it's probably our first choice, or maybe Antioch of Pisidia. So if Paul had gone off to Bithynia or off into Asia Minor, he may not have ever hooked up with Luke, because Luke was only in town for a little while. That wasn't his home. God had a destiny. God had a purpose all mapped out that Paul could never have begun to imagine. There's no way Paul would know that some guy named Luke was hanging around Troas, and if he didn't get there, he was going to miss him, and that he would eventually be critical to advance the kingdom of God. God knows things that we don't. When we're sitting in Troas, when we are stuck in Troas, and we can't figure it out, and we're scratching our head so bad that it starts to look like mine, you know, because there's no hair there left, wondering what is God's plan, God may have things that you couldn't possibly know or understand at that point in your life where you are. And at times you just have to trust Him. Because there is just no way you could know. Even if He told you, well, it's all about Luke. Luke? Who's Luke? That's why I'm not telling you. All right, that's number one. Number two, and I'll wrap it up with this. And this is where it gets a little mind-bending. So hang with me. I know I've been talking a long time. Hang with me on this. Paul has this vision, and a man from Macedonia says, "Come help us." Who is this man from Macedonia? Almost sounds like a spy thriller, you know, the man from Macedonia. He was ruthless. He was cold. Who is this man from Macedonia? Now, you know, on the surface, you probably think, well, he's crying for them to come help him. He's probably just some Christian. He's had a hard time over there, persecution or something. He's trying to build a church, and he's running into hard times, and things are tough, and he needs Paul to come over and help him. And, you know, when I've ever read that in the almost, I don't know, 30 years maybe since I've been walking with the Lord, whenever I've read that passage, I just assumed that he was some dude in Macedonia that needed help. He was a Christian trying to build a church, and things were rough. But there's one problem with that. At that point, there were no Christians in Macedonia. There were no Christians in Macedonia. That was uncharted ground for the gospel. That was actually the start, the beginning of Europe. When Paul got on that boat and sailed across the water, he was taking the gospel into Europe for the very first time. There were no Christians there at all. It was dominated by paganism. There were hardly any Jews there. They didn't even have, when the first city in Macedonia, Philippi, they didn't even have a synagogue there. So it kind of might have thrown Paul for a loop. I mean, Paul's, you know, standard operating procedure. You go into town, you go to the synagogue, you preach to the Jews. Then when the Gentiles hear and they get interested, then you know, forget about the Jews and work with the Gentiles. That was what he did, town after town after town after town. He went into Europe, into Macedonia. There was no synagogue at Philippi because you needed 10 Jewish men to build one. That was the rules. They wouldn't build one unless they had 10 Jewish men. And there weren't, I don't believe there were any Jewish men. There was a handful of Jewish women that used to go down to the river and pray. A girl named Lydia, a Jewish woman down there, was down by the river praying. Paul came along and she got saved. That was the first Christian in Europe, was a woman named Lydia. So there was no dude of Macedonia telling Paul, come help me, because he wasn't there. So if it wasn't some guy, who was this man? I would submit to you that this quote-unquote man of Macedonia was actually an angel of God. Actually an angel of God that was assigned geographically to that area of Macedonia and Philippi, and he was engaged, and I'm going to break this down, he was engaged in some serious spiritual warfare over that place. Because the Bible says that there are angelic beings, both good and bad, God's elect angels, his holy angels, and also the fallen angels that followed Satan. And they are referred to in Scripture as principalities and powers. In other words, they are assigned over geographic regions. You had some of them referred to as the Prince of Persia in the book of Daniel. He was referring to that demonic spirit in the area of Persia that withstood the angel Gabriel as he was trying to come to Daniel.